The weekend is here. Ready to start your projects around the house?
I'm in the process of refinishing a concrete patio.
Better put your game face on. Get ready to work.
All I did was turn on the water.
But if you need a little help, now's the time to call Lou.
Adrian, you're on HouseSmarts Radio. Good morning.
I love your show. I look forward to it every Saturday.
He's taking your calls for the next 3 hours.
You got a lot of love today. This is really good for my ego.
Right here on HouseSmarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the show is sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Good morning to Don Kleppen, who is sitting in for Doma T. Nice to have you with us, Don.
Thank you, Lou. Nice to meet you.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, Don. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Morton Grove, actually.
Morton Grove.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you go to high school?
Niles West.
Niles West, all right. Know it very well.
Mm-hmm.
You used to, let's see, Morton Grove. You were a big fan of Pequod's Pizza?
That's right, Pequod's. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, loved it.
Gosh.
That burnt crust. Love it.
Oh, that is awesome. Where'd you go to college, Don?
Columbia.
Columbia, very nice. And I've heard you periodically throughout on WGN, so it's nice to have you with us. Joe Brand, grew up in the South Side.
I did. Palermo's Pizza, 95th Street.
Palermo's also. We all have our spots. Have you ever been to Pequod's Pizza, though, Joe?
You know what? That's one place I never have.
Yeah. So Don will attest to this, but I believe, Don, the original Pequod's is in Morton Grove.
It is, yeah. It's over there. It's right by
like
the metro
in a neighborhood.
Station.
You would drive right by it. There's also some kind of cool bar right next to it, too. Have you ever been there?
The Bringer Inn. Yes, I have.
There you go. I want to go there. Do they serve food?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So, Joe, this is like, it's almost like, you need to know it's there because you wouldn't find it. Right, Don?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's a bunch of neighborhood. It reminds me a little bit of like how the South Side is, too, because...
Well, that's how you know it's good.
But I mean, you got a bunch of houses, and then all of a sudden, there's this little bitty pizza place. I mean, Don.
Yeah.
The newsroom that you guys are in right now... If you double that, that's probably the size of Pequod's. Probably not even double that.
Right. Like maybe one and a half. Exactly. It's easily crowded in there.
10 tables, maybe.
Right.
And
exactly.
A little bitty bar. And, you know, I love a place that serves pizza and pitchers of beer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Right next to the Morton Grove Library, too, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's a good place to go.
Red and white checkerboard tablecloths. Right.
Exactly. Yes. Some Parmesan.
And Lindsay,
right there.
Where did you go for pizza in Kenosha?
What's that? Villa de Carlo.
How about you turn that microphone up? I can barely hear you.
Oh, I was talking into the wrong mic. Villa de Carlo.
Villa de Carlo.
Yeah.
In Kenosha. Still there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thin or thick crust?
Always thin for me.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And they've got pretty good...
Pretty good pizza? There's good food in Kenosha. There is really good food.
You know,
in
I used to date a pizza man.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you his name, and I'm sure someone listening is going to go, oh, we know him.
Yeah.
The pizza place is no longer in business anymore, but it was called Cerdo's Pizza. And I even got behind the kitchen, and I was whipping up
pizzas. That's enough information now. We don't need any more things of what you did with the pizza man. It's only like 7-something in the morning.
I think it was only for one day. Like, I was whipping the pizzas.
You only dated the guy one day?
No.
Oh.
Well, that was like my first boyfriend ever.
Wow.
I know. Good old... Well, I'll just leave it there.
Don't want to say his name? Mike?
No.
Did he always smell like Parmesan cheese or mozzarella?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Man, now I want pizza.
Me too.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, well, we're all here together. Don, I wanted to ask you, I think like most of us, Lindsay and I were talking a little bit before the show. I am saddened and obsessed by this terrible story in Missouri about this duck that this amphibious vehicle that turned over. And I think part of it is I can remember as a child, we used to go up to Wisconsin Dells a lot.
Same,
And going on those ducks was one of my most favorite memories as a child. And my gosh, the video that somebody took of that thing, it is just awful to think about. what happened, and the amount of life lost in that is just crazy.
It is. It's pretty unbelievable. And it's, yeah, it's more, I mean, 17 people all on that one duck boat, and more than half of them from the same family from Indiana. It's something that, like you said, Lou, I mean, anybody from this area can probably relate because of the ducks, and just imagining something like that is horrific.
Yeah. I did a little online searching, and there's been a bunch of stories, obviously, about the Wisconsin ducks that are out that have been up there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when a tragedy like this starts, everybody starts asking all these questions. There's no regulation about this. I mean, they follow certain rules about it, but the story that I saw is in the Wisconsin Dells, all that equipment is from circa World War II.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and you can tell with some of them, just even when you drive by in the Dells on the streets, you look at the lots where they keep them, and they're the dark, like, army green colors. They look older, yeah. But it's a touristy activity. It's not like they're, traffic cars that have to pass an emissions test or something.
Right.
It's just kind of like it's just a fun thing.
Oh, it's awful. I've got to pray for those families. It's just such a terrible story to hear about that. And, you're there having a nice time, and then whatever the weather turned. I mean, I'm sure more information will come out as they investigate, but it's just a terrible story.
Yeah, really, definitely.
I'm sorry if I'm repeating, but the family of 11... With the nine.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. No worries. It's, yeah, it was nine people, 11 of them from the same family that came from Indiana.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
And actually, just this morning, that came out, one of the employees that was waiting in line as the family was getting their tickets, she recalls them stopping for a picture, and basically a ticket taker reassigned them because they made a realization about where they were supposed to be placed. So it was kind of a mishap that led to this family being on that particular duck thing in the first place.
Goosebumps.
Awful.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pray for those people, please. Everyone, if you can. If you're someone that prays, it's just an awful story. All right. House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini here with you. A couple things we're going to talk about today, along with taking your phone calls at 312-981-7200, is, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this Noodaloo 2. How many packages do you get delivered to your home? Like a gazillion? And one of the things that's a real risk is that, they steal your packages from your front porch. You see it all the time. It's in the millions, right, Lindsay, that packages get stolen on an annual basis?
23 million people have been victim to this.
Yes.
It's crazy.
This might be one of the solutions. Our Noodaloo 2 coming up a little bit before 8 o'clock this morning. And then, we're going to talk to the CEO of a company called Handy Ramp that I think that you have heard me talk about in the past. There's a brand new book that the CEO wrote about slips and falls, but also some products and things that they sell to keep us a little bit safer in the home. And by the way, you just heard me honk the horn, Lindsay. I had an epiphany the other day.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of tired of the horn.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And so then I was thinking, maybe I'm going to go to a bell. I'm going to go to like one of those little, like bell when you walk up to the service, well, ding, like one of those.
He's going somewhere.
Yep. But then I was thinking, well, that's just, so everybody, in radio has done that. I go, you know what I really need? I need something that has a connection to the home.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So next week we are going to retire the horn. And I am going to make a setup where I have a doorbell.
I knew it!
Right?
I knew here.
But I don't want it to be a sound effect like that I have to hit a thing. Yeah. I am actually going to make, they have these battery operated doorbells.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to buy one at my local Ace. And I'm going to make a little block of wood, like a little stand that I can place on the countertop next to me with the battery operated doorbell and the door button right there. And then when I say something like, you should really use that wet and forget, ding dong. You should really call PermaSeal, ding dong,
hey,
right?
I like it.
Why is it taking me so long? It almost angers me as much as the fact that it took us forever to do the rejoin with Hammer Time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like right in front of our face.
Hopefully too many of the listeners don't have dogs.
Oh.
Oh, it's true. Good point.
Good point. Well,
well, the
now.
Horn does the same thing. We get texts from people all the time. Like, stop
it
using
it. Drives
that
the
horn.
Dog crazy. Stop
waking my dog up.
Yeah, ding dong. I like that. And it really bodes well because I am a ding dong, and so it works out perfectly. That will be debuting next week. I need a little bit of time to put it all together. And and of course, I'll need two. All right, let's get to your phone calls. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Barb is in Niles. Barb, did you go to Niles West, too, like Don Kleppen?
No, I didn't. I went to New Trier.
Oh, smarty pants.
Long time ago.
Back there, it was just called New. It was called New. They didn't even have the Trier, right? New. How can I help you?
So you're going to have to play the song Ring My Bell if you change your doorbell.
Right. We can do that, too.
Yeah.
See all the things? That we're expanding here, Barb. You know what we're doing? We're keeping things fresh.
That's right. Love it.
How can I help you today?
Well, we've been in our home for over 30 years, and the house was, you know, from the 50s when we bought it. And okay. In my powder room when we bought it, there were at least 4 alternating layers of paint and wallpaper. And we did our best to scrape it down, but could never get it flat, so I ended up sponge painting because it was popular, too. Now, okay. I just want a flat surface. What would you recommend I do without removing the walls?
Well, do we have, is all of the wallpaper off of it?
No, because I couldn't get it off. It was like at least 4 alternating layers of, the previous owners had painted and wallpapered and painted over it, wallpapered and painted over that and wallpapered it.
Oh my gosh.
So it was really
hard. Well, I mean, if you want flat walls, we need to get all that wallpaper off.
How do you get down there?
Okay, so, and this is a bathroom?
Yeah, it's a powder room.
Okay, well, at least it's not a living room. All right, you have a pencil. You have a pencil and piece of paper?
I will, yes.
All right. I want you to buy a product called Wallwick. Ding dong. That's next week.
Okay.
Wallwick. It'll be hard to find. But this is what it is. They're polyester sheets of fabric. They're polyester fabric sheets, and they're like 30 inches wide, and they're about 8 feet long. You're going to take a paper tiger. You know what a paper tiger is? It's like that little round thing that makes the little holes in wallpaper.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever used that?
Like a score?
It's like a score, and you're going to score all this paint to that first layer of wallpaper. You're going to soak the Wallwick fabric in a solution of wallpaper remover, and they make one. You can use a product called Chomp, which I like. Chomp works really well. And then you're going to take that, and you're going to stick it on the wall. It's just going to adhere to the wall. And you're going to put like 2 or 3 of these sheets up there and let it sit there for half an hour. And it's going to get the moisture into that wall, and then you're going to take the polyester fabric off and put it back in a bucket of the warm water in the solution, and you should be able to take a 6-inch putty knife and get behind it and peel it away pretty easily. It's all about holding the moisture onto the wall. Okay?
And can you reuse those sheets in the room?
You can reuse the sheets. That's where you're going to put them back in the bucket. Then you go back to the next section. I think they give you 4 pieces, so you can do like, you know, 5 feet at a time type of thing. And you can reuse them. Then when you're done, throw them in the washing machine. You wash them and use them again. But now because you have 2 layers, you know, you may have to double up on this. So you're going to do put the first layer on and get that first layer of wallpaper off and then score it again and put it on again after you go all the way around. And it's called Wallwick. Not a lot of people carry it. You can look online. We do, you know, no self-promotion here, but we do carry it at our Edgebrook Ace hardware store on the Northwest Side and have for a number of years. It was invented, I think, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. All right, how about a quick call? Because I want to talk to Terry in Evanston before we get on to the news. Terry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
So,
hi, Terry.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay.
So my daughter recently purchased her first house, and it's a ranch-style house. The living room and hallway, hardwood floors were already done. The carpeting in the three bedrooms was bad.
Okay.
So we pulled it up, and the floors underneath look really good. There's no dents or divots. There's no water stains. So we were just going to put on a fresh coat of poly.
Right.
But when you stand, like, in the doorway and you look kind of across the floor, you can kind of see, like, residue from the padding that was down there. And I'm just trying to find out what's the best way to clean the floors before we put down the poly.
Yeah. Okay, so that is it's like a little bit of a sticky mess, that residue that you see. And so you probably have to get down on your hands and knees and scrub it. And you need a little cleaner that's going to kind of dissolve that cleaner without damaging the finish. So what I would try is something like something very mild, like a simple green, or check that, crud cutter. I want you to buy a gallon of crud cutter, and I want you to cut it to a 50-50 mix with warm water. And then use a sponge and a nylon scrubbing brush and test it in a little area. And scrub it down, see if you can get the residue off. You may have to use the brush as well. And then wipe it away. Then you're gonna take a wet rag with a damp water too when you're done after it gets it all off, and you're just gonna wipe it away nice and clean. And then another coat of poly if you want. You could either use a regular polyurethane over the top of that. Typically, you want to screen that, if not, you can use a product that Rejuvenate makes, which is really nice. That you can put right over the top, and it'll bring that shine back. Appreciate the phone call, Terry. We're bumping up against news time.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that fix-it guy. Right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Over the horizon, smooth sailing. He's got to be seen.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. House Smarts Radio here on 720 WGN. Our Noodaloo 2 is a game changer when it comes to protecting your packages that get delivered to your home so nobody swipes them. Swiper. You could have done the, Lindsay, you could have done the, what was the swiper?
Swiper, stop, no swiping.
Yeah, what's that from? Dora.
Dora.
Dora the Explorer. We could have done that. Yeah.
I wish I was smarter with other things.
Well, no. I do. Well, Swiper, I'm trying to think. Dora? Dora was, I think my kids used to watch Dora.
Oh, it's still on.
Is it still on?
Oh, yeah.
Really? There's no more Blue's Clues, right?
They play reruns late at night. But we know all about Blue's Clues, too.
You do? Mm-hmm. Don, what was the show you watched as a young boy?
Arthur, I was a big fan
of Arthur. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Quinn was my oldest son was a big Arthur fan.
You know,
Arthur was good.
I just found out about Dora the Explorer. Everywhere else in the world, it's broadcast in English. It teaches other countries English, but here is the only place it's Spanish.
Really?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Brand?
Hmm.
Did we lose Joe?
He's there.
He's in there.
Hey, Joe, what childhood show did you watch growing up?
Started Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
And then growing up, I kind of aged myself into Rugrats.
I loved Rugrats.
Yeah?
Really?
I was a huge Rugrats fan.
I still like Rugrats.
I'll throw it on Netflix occasionally when I'm trying to fall asleep.
I tried to get my kids to watch it. They weren't as excited as me, but
you know what's great about those shows is there's...
Joe, you live with your girlfriend, right?
I do.
Yeah, so, I mean, how does that go? Yeah, honey, can we watch Rugrats together? I mean, what is that conversation like?
It's never like I'm pushing it. It's just the fact that, you know, we can't fall asleep. We got to throw something on where we can't think about much.
Right.
And honestly, one of the good things about that show is there's a lot of older jokes in it. I mean, there's subtle hints that they're trying to entertain the adults when the kids are watching it.
Oh, yeah, that's the best. I think that's the best part of any of those kids' movies or any of that stuff when they throw the little... I'm dating myself back where I remember watching Sesame Street with one of our kids, and one of the best like adult jokes was, it was like Big Bird talking to these two, I want to say they were monkeys, right? And they were talking about eating bananas. And so Big Bird wanted them to do something. And I'm like, well, if you do this, then I'll give you these bananas. And these two monkeys are like, well, how about you give me the bananas first so I can eat the bananas, and then I'll do the work. And Big Bird goes, no. You do the work first, and then you receive the payment. And the monkey turns to the camera and says, man, we got to get a stronger union. Which no kid is getting, and it was very funny.
I will say, so have you seen the movie Sing?
No.
I have.
It's like it's a great film. It's who's in it? Like Matthew McConaughey and
it's a cartoon,
yeah,
okay.
But they have all the songs. It's basically about some art, like, you know, these characters who are all performers and they all sing. And they bring all these like modern songs into the, so like, my kids know all these songs like Lady Gaga and Katy Perry. Well, the one which I think is funny that they included, which I don't know if I love it, it's funny, but it's also like, really? Is that Baby Got Back.
Oh,
so my kids walk around and they're like,
I like big butts and cannot lie.
Yes.
It's the pig singing it, isn't it?
I don't remember what it
is. Isn't
yes.
it? It's in Shrek.
Mm.
That song is in Shrek.
That is in Shrek.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Look at her.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what they
well,
do.
It's a little, yeah, yeah. It is always a fun
it's
one
funny
when it comes up.
Because
maybe we should do
so
a rejoin
young.
With that song. No, that's not. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Poor Michael in Downers Grove had to listen to all of this. Michael, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, hi Lou, how you doing?
I'm well, sir. How can I help you?
Okay, I have a couple questions. One is, I've got a standard water heater, but it has no liner, and I understand now if I put a new hot water heater in, I have to get a liner. I'm in Downers for about 2 years now.
You're talking about liner. Wait. You're talking about a liner for your chimney.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
And the other question is, should I replace it with a tankless water heater and an install? And I understand there's maintenance on that thing. I'm 77 years old. I don't know if I'll get payback on this thing. That's the first question. So I'm just asking your opinion, what you think.
I was, who was I talking to recently that just told me, you're 77. Do you know that, you know that if you make it to 80, I think it's if you make it to 80 or 85, there's a good chance you'll live to be 100.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right.
So here's to your century, birthday. But, Michael, I like the on-demand water heaters, and I only want you to live for another 25 years, which would be awesome. But, I mean, the thing is that you are right. There is maintenance involved on these, on-demand systems. And if it's set up correctly, your plumber will give you the valves to be able to flush these systems out. That's kind of the thing that's been missing in a lot of these installs, is that they haven't set it up correctly. So if you decide to do that, all right, a couple things that are going to happen. With an on-demand water heater, you're going to direct vent out of the side, and you're going to do all this plumbing. So initially, to get all that done, you're probably talking about a $3,500, $4,000 install for something like this, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you went to a high-efficiency water heater that you could also direct vent out of the side, you're probably around $2,000.
Maybe. Oh, I didn't know you could direct them out through the side.
Just like you would with the on-demand water heater, and then you have no liner, because that liner, let me ask you this, Michael, your furnace is that direct vent out the side now?
No, this is an old furnace that's going to have to be replaced also. It's an oil converted to gas, and this sucker is about 8 feet long and 4 feet high. That's how big the thing is.
Right.
So that
right.
I want to
do. So here's the thing, right? If you're
high efficiency.
Right. So don't spend the money on the liner, which will cost you about $1,000, if not more. If you're going to replace these two systems, now I will tell you this, Michael, I'm just calling you Don because from Downers Grove, is that if you package these, things together with your HVAC contractor, I mean, you know, you've got a little bit of some added labor because you've got this old system that has to come out, but, you could package that in and probably save a little bit of money. While I love the on-demand water heaters based on all the work that you have to do, I would save a little of that money and go on a vacation instead of, you know, the extra $2,000.
Hello! That's my wife and dog clapping. Yay, Lou.
That's right. Right. Well, then we're keeping her happy. That's all that matters. Yeah. Michael, thank you so much for the phone call.
Hey, wait, I got one more. We had
call.
A Sears maintenance store, hardware store on Ogden, 800 on Ogden, which has been there for 25 years. And they just went out of business.
Yep.
And we could use an Ace hardware store there, Downers. They used to get a lot of business from us and other people, and it's vacant.
And they had cookies.
And they had cookies and coffee on Saturdays for the old timers. And we'd love to have another Ace. We'd love to have an Ace in there. I don't have one close.
All right, I will take this tape and I will send it to the powers that be, and we'll see what we can come up.
All right.
I appreciate
it. Thanks, Lou.
You got it. Michael, have a great weekend. I thank you so much for calling this morning. It's 7:47 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be right back. All right, let's talk about the gazillions of packages that get delivered to your home on a regular basis. For most of us, it just goes on the front porch. And for most of us, it goes, you come home and there's the package. But for many of us, they get stolen. And so our Noodaloo 2 has saw this problem and created a solution that I really think is super unique. Take a listen.
Are you worried about porch pirates stealing packages that get left outside your door? Americans are receiving more packages via home delivery than ever before. And as a result, package theft is on the rise. 23 million Americans have had packages stolen. I mean, what is wrong with people?
Lock it up. No, you lock it up.
That's why our new Noodaloo 2 might come in handy for you. Box Lock Home is the first internet-connected smart security padlock that caters specifically to residential customers looking to protect their packages. While there are similar items like Amazon Key allows delivery drivers access to a user's front door. Creepy! Box Lock offers a more non-intrusive solution. Box Lock Home only opens when an out-for-delivery package is scanned. Setup was pretty quick. You just download the app and then you lock the box lock around the preferred delivery receptacle. So that is not provided. This is just the padlock. The box can only be opened when a delivery shows up. The delivery driver scans the package and follows a two-step verification process to unlock the box and leave the package inside. Box Lock Home is durable, but does need to be charged about once a month. But a single charge can last more than 30 days. Box Lock Home retails for $129. You can find out more at getboxlock.com. I know it's available on Amazon, but just pray that your box lock isn't stolen before you actually open it. For all this information, you can visit Lou's Facebook page. I'll put all the information up for you. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
Oh, by the way, our Noodaloo 2 is sponsored by ComEd, powering lives. Neat idea, right? This is something that we learned about. Lindsay, how did we learn about this box lock a while ago?
Well, it was at the Houseware show, but it was not available yet. So it really, I think they rolled it out.
It was like the one and only unit, right?
Right. I think they rolled it out around Prime Day, just like last week. Amazon Prime Day. So we've been kind of watching it because you really liked it, and you're like, oh, keep an eye on this. This will be a great new tool.
Okay, this is what I'm trying to understand. So it has to be a valid barcode of something that's getting delivered to you.
Okay? Right. So like right. I was telling you about Me's Meals. I love the food delivery. I know your family uses it too.
Yeah. We're like a... Right.
Food delivery, the local food delivery service, which is amazing. If you guys are looking for a home delivery service, meesmeals.com, the best. But so I would have to send them, if I wanted them to put their, you know, weekly box in my box.
In a storage box. Right.
I would send them a code. So it is a little, I mean, I think the hope for Box Lock is this is going to really catch on and this is going to be a widely used product.
So it'll be normal to like, oh, here, oh, here's their code. I would send it to them, and it would be like indefinite use. You know, you can send them like a one-time barcode or a three-time barcode or a endless.
Okay, so this is what I'm trying to understand about the concept of this thing, reading the barcode, meaning that it's an X. So if I order something from Amazon, okay, and I'm a Prime member, right, and it's whatever, it's a new horn. Now, I can track that package right away. So there must be a barcode that gets associated with that order immediately, correct?
Correct. And so most carriers, BoxLock accepts, like Amazon and UPS and FedEx. And so all those codes will already work regardless.
So through the app, I'm sure there's an app, right? That's this BoxLock is connected to the Wi-Fi of your home.
Right.
The lock now knows that this Amazon package is coming, and it knows the barcode.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's communicating with the internet in your home, and when the UPS driver comes there, it's literally a scanner on the end of the lock. He or she tilts it up, scans the box, and that barcode opens it up.
Right. And then once that barcode's been used, it's done.
It's done.
Right.
So nobody can come with their own barcode of a package they got because it's not associated with you.
It has to be out for delivery because, you know, you watch Amazon orders and it says, oh, out for delivery or delivered yesterday or whatever, you know. So once it says delivered, then that barcode is completely
useless. So they scan, they tilt the lock up. It's got a barcode thing. You do have to recharge this, but I think you said it lasts about a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I bet the app probably tells you what the battery's charged at. It scans it. The lock unlocks. The delivery person puts it in like a box you would buy to store your outdoor cushions.
Right.
And you can attach that to your deck or you can chain it, whatever it wants. But you need to have close proximity to
your network.
Your network, so that it would not work in like an apartment building. Mm-hmm. This is really sort of a single family home situation.
If you lived in a high rise and you wanted to put your box down on the, you know, it needs a network to be connected to. My only thing with it, I think it's an awesome. It's really like you said, it's a game changer for anybody who's had. Have you ever had anything stolen?
Probably.
We've had things not come, so I don't know if it was actually been stolen or if it just didn't get delivered from Amazon.
Right.
They're always very good about fixing that. But anyway, is the button. So if Amazon or whoever did come and try to deliver something to our home but had never seen this padlock before, when I first opened it and was playing around with it, and it wasn't like a huge deal. I eventually figured it out, but I didn't know where the button was because you have to press a button, but it like
to scan
built into the top of the padlock. So I think you have to kind of just like you'll figure it out eventually, but there should be a button that says press here and scan.
Right.
So, but it's very cool, and I'm sure it's going to save a lot of people a lot of hassle.
Okay, one question now goes into the box. This is one thing I didn't pick up on the information. Now my package gets delivered. I get a text message saying that your package has been delivered. How do I open up the box?
Every padlock has a master code that that comes with your app. So on your app, there's a little thing that says master barcode. You just scan it, and it opens. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. BoxLock. Mm-hmm. Check it out. It's up on our Facebook page as well as WGNRadio.com. Their website is getboxlock.com. It is 7:57 in the morning. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I listen every Saturday.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I listen to you every Saturday morning.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Don't be scared. Pick up the phone. Give Lou a call. He's live taking your questions till 10 right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Welcome back. It's against the law. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. This hour of our show is sponsored by wetandforget.com and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Hey, Joe Brand, can I ask you a quick question?
You can always ask me a quick question.
You know when the Cubs got lost, say, like 500-1 or something? What was the final score?
18-5 yesterday,
And then, like, Ian Happ pitched and Tommy LaStella right?
Yeah, Victor Caratini, too.
I saw a highlight where somebody threw a 63-mile-an-hour fastball, which I don't think I could throw a 63-mile-an-hour fastball. But this is my question. Isn't it true the coaches that are on, that are in uniform, can they technically go into the game?
No. I do not think so.
Are they not technically on the roster?
They're not as a player. You're allotted 25 players to a roster, 25 active players.
25 active players. Okay. Then why is it that they wear uniforms in baseball? Tradition?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the traditional baseball thing. It's the only sport that does it.
But it used to be, right, that some managers played on the team, but they would be part of the roster.
Correct. Yeah, there used to be, I think they called them player coaches, but yes.
Right.
Last one was Pete Rose, I believe.
Right. I do remember that.
Wearing, like, Newport Balance or New Balance shoes. They're not even wearing cleats half the time.
Right. But technically, they could be, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, in a situation like that, right? You got a lot of these pitching coaches who are former pitchers, right?
Right.
It seemed to me that you would make a, I wonder if you can make a, your roster, does it have to be set before the game?
Yes. Yeah, you have to have your starting
before
lineup
game,
and then all
your
reserves.
These are my 25 players.
Correct.
And is there a reserve?
They're just the guys on the bench.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the bench
players.
Oh,
right, because, got it. All right. Just wondering.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Kathy is in Hoffman Estates. Kathy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How can I help you this morning?
Couple quick questions. I bought at a discount house, a sink that drops into my vanity in the bathroom.
Okay.
Now, it's all shiny, looks new, but I notice that there are a little blue, like, stain, and I can't get it out. I wonder, do I need to seal this thing?
It's shiny, meaning
yeah,
that
so it looked like
it's
it had
porcelain.
A sealer on it. Oh, good. I don't know what it is. It's heavy.
It is heavy, like a cast iron sink with porcelain on it?
Could be, yeah.
And did you buy it? Did you buy it at a discount because it had blue little specks in it?
No, no. I actually bought it because I couldn't find the size anywhere but there. My townhouse is pretty old, so that was the only place.
Right, but you, in other words, you can't take your fingernail and
no
scrape these off. It's under the shiny part.
It's like a little ink stain that went on it. So I just, you know, took a little bleach or something, and it just, you know, it's faintly there, but I just got it, so I'm afraid that over time it's going to get, you know, messed up. And it was a real discount house.
Got it. Okay, so, I mean, my guess is the staining is... my guess is that stain is under the shiny finish over the top of the porcelain, which is why it was a discounted sink.
No, I did the stain. I did the stain.
Oh, you did the stain.
Yeah, but I don't remember how. You know, you're in your bathroom getting ready, and then I went, and wiped it. Yeah.
Right. And it's white?
Yeah, the sink is white, yes.
The sink is white. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's try this then. I want you to use a cleaner called Challenger.
Okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is a concentrate, and I want you to use it in a, you can buy it in a spray bottle, and mm-hmm. I want you to get a white Scotch-Brite pad.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to squirt it. I want you to count to 10, and then I want you to try and scrub it off. I want you to wear some full strength on this Challenger. I want you to wear some rubber gloves.
Okay.
If that doesn't come off, mm-hmm. when you brush your teeth or wash your face, close your eyes.
Okay. Do you think I need to put like a sealer? No.
Not if it's all shiny. Like, in other words, if it's all shiny everywhere else, then no.
Yeah.
I don't want you to put anything over the top because that'll just be a nightmare to maintain.
Okay, my last question. I have a spigot in the front of the house.
Yep.
I turn the water on from the inside for the summer. I went out there, turned it on, and then when I tried to turn it off, the water wouldn't stop completely.
Okay.
Coming out. So I had to come in the house to shut off the water to the front.
Got it. So you, to the best of your knowledge, do not have a frost-proof spigot on the outside?
No. Do not. Do not.
Okay. So are we pretty handy?
Yeah.
All right. So with the water off on the inside,
mm-hmm.
you know where the handle is that you turn the water on and
yeah.
off. There's a stem,
uh-huh.
like a little stem that holds the handle. And then under that stem is a nut.
Yes.
Okay. I want you to take a wrench and uh-huh. loosen that nut.
Okay.
And you're going to unscrew that nut. And then you're going to, once it's loose, you're like, okay, it's loose, Lou. You're going to loosen the valve. You're going to turn the valve. And that whole assembly is going to come out in your hand.
Okay.
Then you're going to go to the hardware store, and you're going to say, I need new washers for this stem.
Okay.
And they're going to put it on for you. Then you're going to go back to your house, and you're going to reverse exactly what you just did.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to work. And it costs you $3.
I love you. Thank you.
I love you more. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Frank in Naperville. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question, an electrical question for you this morning.
Okay.
Okay, I just moved into a house, and I have a family room that has a wall plate that has two switches. One switch operates eyeball lights above a fireplace, and the other light switch does nothing. I've pulled the wall plate off, pulled out the switch, put a voltmeter to the switch, and there is no power going to the switch. And my question is there anything that I can do other than calling an electrician to try to troubleshoot the problem?
Okay, wait. So the two switches, the one operates overhead lights in the room?
Yes.
And the other switch... Did you check to see if it's a half of a switched outlet in the room?
I did. There's four outlets to the room, and all of the outlets, left and right sides, are all live.
They're all hot all the time.
Yes.
And this switch does have a wire to it.
Yeah, I pulled the switch out of the cavity, and it had electrical tape wrapped around it a couple times, and there is a orange wire going to it. It's a single-pole switch.
Right.
And an orange wire and a fuchsia-colored wire going to it. But when I put the voltmeter to the switch, I have nothing.
So if you touch... if you ground to the box and you touch either one of those wires, you get no feed whatsoever.
Right. And I just want to see if there's anything I can do other than calling an electrician to see if I can troubleshoot this.
I mean, based on...
I went to the fuse panel, and I looked at all of the orange and fuchsia-colored wires going to the circuit breaker, and everything is attached, and everything looks like it should.
But we're just trying to determine what it is that switch operates?
Yes. I'm guessing at one time it was probably a switched outlet, and I thought maybe somebody didn't break the tap and creates the bridge that goes
right.
between the two terminals, which gives you the ability to have a switched outlet.
Right.
But there's no power going to that switch at all.
Huh. And then there's no, and so every other device in the home seems to operate and have a function.
That's right. This is the only issue that I have throughout that whole service panel.
Right. But the point is, it's not, you're just trying to figure this out. It's not like do you need this switch to do something?
Well, I would like it to have a switched lamp. Initially, I thought maybe somebody didn't break the tab. So
I see. Okay, so you'd like to have a switch lamp. Okay, well, let me ask you this. In that room, you don't have a ceiling fan or a box that's got a cover plate over the top of it up in the ceiling, do you?
Do not. It's a popcorn ceiling, and it has eyeball lights above the fireplace.
Above the fireplace, right. I mean... Based on everything you just described, those would be the methods I would use to figure out where it's going. And yep. an electrician could probably come and tone the wires, you know, to kind of figure out where they're all going to find out if it's, you know, if it's wires that go to nowhere, or, you know, it could be another junction box somewhere where one of those wires got disconnected and is just no longer connected to anything, whatever that device was. So, I mean, the only other alternative I would tell you to check is other, so you have a switch leg there. The closest switch to that one, I would take that apart to see if one of those colored wires are in that box and maybe not connected to anything.
Yeah.
After that, I would get a licensed electrician to come take a look at it.
Well, what I was going to do was there's a lot of homes around the neighborhood that have a similar style home, and we're just going to be a friendly neighbor and say, hey, I just moved the neighborhood, and I wanted to ask you, there's two switches on the same wall plate. Since we have the same house, could you possibly tell me what that switch does?
I mean, please? You could certainly do that as well. I mean, there's no guarantees, but it doesn't hurt at all to do that.
Thanks, Lee.
All right, I appreciate you calling this morning. It is 8:20 in the morning. Actually, you know what, Lindsay? I'm going to read this right now, but maybe you could give me some information too. But Sloan has spent more than a century pioneering smart restroom solutions that are built to last a lifetime. Sloan's lineup of commercial restroom products is taking hands-free faucets, designer sink systems, high-efficiency fixtures, and water-saving flushometers to a new level of innovation. Learn more at Sloan.com. And you can join me Saturday, August 25th, for a live broadcast presented by Sloan at the Cubby Bear from 7 to 10 a.m. We're going to have free breakfast, tickets, and prizes. The first 50 listeners will get a free Sloan goodie bag, and you can register at WGNradio.com/events. And in particular, Lindsay, we want plumbers and apprentices to show up as well.
That is correct.
Right. And so we're going to have some Sloan representatives out there. And I know, you know, I mentioned this in a Facebook post, but if you're listening, I know for many of you plumbers, you guys all work on Saturdays, but the show starts at 7, so you can come in, grab free breakfast, hang out, say hello to us, and then go on to your next stop. So all you got to do is go to WGNradio.com/events and register.
Oh, you can win tickets to the game that day.
You can win tickets to the game that day. That's across the street. That's all we can say. And there's other prizes as well. And as I mentioned, you get a free goodie bag if you come
and breakfast.
Sounds like a pretty good deal. Hey, before we take a break, I have something. I know you ran to go get coffee, but this is something I was talking to Bob Ferguson about. just something to, you know, sometimes we just need a little bit something to laugh about, right? There were children lined up at the cafeteria of a Catholic elementary school for lunch, and at the head of the table was a large pile of apples. The nun posted a note by the apple tray. Take only one apple. God is watching. That wasn't it.
I was going to say, that was it?
No. Get ready. No. Take only one apple. God is watching. At the other end of the table was a large pile of chocolate chip cookies. A child had written a note. Take all you want. God is watching the apples.
Ah, good one.
We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio. Let's talk to Guy in Elmwood Park. Guy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Enthusiastic. I watched that.
I'm sorry?
Last night.
You were sleeping on it.
How come I watched it?
Oh, Guy's talking to his wife. Hey, Guy.
Yeah. Maybe you fell asleep.
I'm reading my book now.
Let's put Guy on hold so we don't get in trouble.
That was pretty amazing, though.
Hey, Guy. One more time. Hey, Guy, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Lou, I've got a question. Our daughter purchased a condo in a 17-year-old building. And it's about 1,200 square feet, and the lady that owned it was a heavy, heavy smoker. So my daughter completely repainted the condo, all the walls, the ceilings, replaced all the appliances, replaced the furnace, and we still get aroma of nicotine. Mm-hmm. Now, she has exposed round ductworks. I don't know what they call that, but it is, you know, in the room it's exposed.
Yeah.
Round duct. So there's one vent that goes into the bedroom. It's only a one bedroom, and then the other one goes into their living area. And we're thinking that the tobacco is aligned the ductwork. Now the furnace man, he claims that he sprayed something in the ductwork.
Yeah, we need to clean it though, guy. What town is this in?
It's in Arlington Heights.
Okay. There's a bunch of different companies you could call to have them come out and clean it. Dykstra Home Services, who's a sponsor of the show, they do duct cleaning and they use a whip and they can come out and get it all cleaned and sucked out, and then they can also put a treatment in there as well. To Dykstra? Yeah, it's D-Y.
Okay.
D-Y-K.
Okay.
S-T-R-A. Dykstra Home Services.
And you
can contact them to schedule an appointment to have them come on and take a look. The other thing, Guy, is you've heard me talk a lot about Fresh Wave, right? Fresh Wave is a all-natural odor neutralizer. It does a great job with cigarette smoke. They make a combination, it seems counterintuitive, but they make a candle, which is one of the best ways to deliver the odor neutralizer into the air, but also their crystal gel that is you can place in a couple areas of the condo as well will really make a difference. But I would start with the ductwork getting cleaned.
Yeah, I think she tried that Fresh Wave. She's actually replaced the carpet that was in the bedroom. It's completely. And we don't think it's got to be that ductwork.
It's got to be the ductwork. You're right on target with that. So give Dykstra a call. They should be able to help you out.
Do you know where they're located? Are they located?
Well, they're south side. They're like in Tinley, but they travel all around. They're not like a barber. They go to the work.
Okay, thanks for that. Okay, Lou, I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You know the age-old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
We have old windows, so the cracks run.
But if it is broke, you can always call Lou.
I have a storm door with a screen rip. Could that be replaced?
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. Yeah, a little thunder and lightning recently. I know that was a story up at Country Thunder with lightning. I hope everybody's being careful up there. And it's crazy, this weather. It is so humid right now. It's unbelievable. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Before we get back to your phone calls, I want to talk to you a little bit about slipping and falling and protecting yourself when it comes to your home and the surrounding area around your home. Joining me on the phone line right now is Tom Dish. He is the CEO of Handy Ramp, and he joins us on House Smarts Radio this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, Lou.
It's early. I know. Get that voice box going.
Yeah, the frog in the throat.
Frog in the throat. That happens all the time. Tom, you and I have talked in the past, and I know that I've talked about Handy Ramp over the years. Tell the listeners a little bit about your company and what it is you folks do.
Sure. We've been around since 1958, and the company originally started off creating ramps for people with disabilities and has been built up and grown over the last 60-plus years in delivering and making people's homes accessible. More recently, in the last few years, one of the areas of interest that came from our customers was there's a lot of fall injuries that are happening, and what can we do to provide some support in that? You know, slippery porches, decks, outside stairs, even inside hardwood stairs or bathrooms. And as a result of that, we started listening to our customers and developing products that just make homes and all the different various places in the home safer.
Right.
And we've tried to incorporate those products where they don't detract from the beauty or the design of the home, but they are hidden, but yet still make the homeowner safer.
I have to imagine that back in 1958, you know, when you guys were building ramps and stuff, there probably weren't a lot of codes or best practices that were out there as far as how to do it the right way, how to create a safe environment. And I bet there was a lot of learning as you go, and now certainly there's a lot of regulations and things that have to happen. But it sounds like it's a business that really has had an evolution.
True. It is really, you know, and a lot of it has been learning what an individual needs. You know, the Americans with Disabilities Act has a, you know, a fundamental principle that for every 1 inch of rise, you need 1 foot of ramp. And that's a really good slope because it's about 4 degrees. It's a very gentle slope for the average person to get in and out of a home or up an incline.
Right.
The problem is that the longer the ramp, the more expensive the ramp. Some homeowners and their families and support networks don't need that gentle of an incline. They can get away with something that's a little steeper, and they can save some money. So it's not governed as much by, in the home anyways, by things like ADA, which is public access.
Right.
But it gears itself more towards what's required and what can an individual family afford, because, you know, even a steeper slope ramp is better than no ramp at all if they can afford it. And a lot of times we're trying to accommodate the needs of the individual with the challenges of the budget.
One of the things that I mentioned when I was, promoting that you were going to be on is I think for many of us, and in particular as we age or have some type of injury or some rehab that's happening, there are hazards that exist in your home that are right in front of you that you may not be paying attention to. Is that something that your company helps people identify as well?
Well, you know, I recently wrote a book, and there's a checklist of things that people can do in going through their home and just doing kind of a survey. Some of the more common things that happen in the home are you go out on the porch and you realize it's slippery, and you go, you know what, I need to be more careful next time I walk out here because it's slippery, as opposed to saying, I'm going to put something down so that it's not slippery the next time I walk out.
Right.
A lot of famous people have fallen. Carrie Underwood just fell in November, ended up with 50 stitches in her face because she took her dogs out one night for a walk and slipped on her porch. Now, I guarantee you that she had slipped on that spot once or twice before, but kept thinking, I'll be more careful. She may have been distracted because she had the dogs and wasn't paying attention. Maybe something else was going on. Don't know the actual details of that instant, but because she didn't deal with the problem or the problem wasn't dealt with, she ended up having a serious injury that could have been prevented had someone taken an action, you know, when they first noticed that problem.
Well, let's talk about that, because your book is called Stop the Slip, and it is a kind of a comprehensive discussion about, you know, falls and how to prevent it. So that checklist that you talk about that's in the book is something that readers could certainly garner a lot of information from.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there's actually thinking about falls. And the first and foremost is awareness. When we see a problem, and I'm guilty, we're all guilty of it, right? One of my favorite stories is that when I was writing the book, I would, you know, drive home and I'd get out of my car and I'd, walk along the garage wall, tripping over all of my garden tools that I had against the wall as I went into the house. And I would do this every day.
Right.
And I
you're like, wait, aren't I writing the book?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm writing the book and I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself here.
Right.
And it's one of those things where you keep thinking, well, I'm just going to be more careful, or I'm going to, and you are more careful until you're not. And it just, an event happens or something, you're distracted, and then you trip and seriously hurt yourself. So as I was writing the book, I go, you know, I put all those things up on a rack where they hang from the wall now, and I don't trip on them. But had I not written the book, had I not thought about it, I wouldn't have said, you know, I've got to do something to prevent this problem. I'm as agile as anybody, as we get older, but you just tend to forget, or you've got something else on your mind and it just leads to a bigger problem. And, you know, one of the things we talk about is be aware and then react to a problem when you notice it.
Well, and the other thing, too, Tom, is that that fear of falling, in particular as we age, can be paralyzing, right? Where you're so afraid of falling because of what that could mean that, you know, it can really, it can lead to a myriad of other issues. It can lead to depression. It can lead to inactivity. It could lead to weight gain, all that kind of stuff. And you wouldn't think about all that, but, making your home a little safer to live in and being aware of how you get around and, you know, differences between floor levels and, you know, you talked about ramps, but certainly grab bars in certain areas can make a huge difference to allow people to maintain some level of independence, even if they're dealing with difficulty in getting around or an injury or something like that.
Absolutely right. And people do fall into that fear, and it's because they haven't thought about what can they do to make it safer. You know, a lot of times clutter. You know, we talked about the garden tools, but we all put things on the stairs, so remember to take them up the stairs when we're going to go, you know, go up the next time. Well, that's a very dangerous thing to do if you don't move them as soon as you go up the stairs. Because you come down the stairs and you don't see what you've put there, or you forget that you put it there, and all of a sudden you've now created a trip hazard or a fall hazard for yourself.
I hope my wife is listening, because she puts stuff in front of the stairs for me to take all the time. But a lot of times I have something in my hands, and I think she's trying to collect the insurance money, Tom. I really think that, yeah.
Mark this down.
Exactly. Tom Dish is the CEO of Handy Ramp. You guys are still in the ramp building business as well, though, right? If somebody needed some help with that?
Absolutely. And we actually will do everything from site surveys to the installation process. So we'll help people figure out exactly what they need and how do they solve that problem if access is a problem.
The website is handyramp.com. That's handyramp.com. Tom, thanks so much for getting up with us this morning, giving us some good information, and continued success with your company.
Well, thanks, Lou. I appreciate it.
You got it. It's 8:50 in the morning. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
Got a problem around your house you just can't figure out? You might want to call Lou. Just saying. He's taking your calls live right here, right now on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Well, it started out.
Yeah, that's me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Bob in Schaumburg is on the line. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Well, good morning, Lou, and how are you today?
I'm well, sir. How can I help you?
Okay, well, the company that sprays the chemicals on my lawn to fertilize it.
Yeah.
Happened to spray my vinyl siding pretty good, and it's light gray, and soap and water isn't really doing the trick to take all those hundreds of spots off. I was trying to figure out what other substance I could use to try to clean this vinyl siding.
What is it? Is it like a color, or is it kind of a clear? What is it?
Well, it's my vinyl siding is light gray.
Okay.
And the spray has made everything very dark gray on the vinyl siding now. Like, even though the hose is there, and there's hundreds of little tiny spots there.
Got it.
The hose went ahead and sprayed the vinyl siding to the entrance of the garage.
And in the area that you see, in other words, you can reach the area, right? In other words,
yes, very easily, because it's like right that small, from the roof to the concrete, it's that smallest part of the garage on the far left side when you went to the garage. It's right there.
Okay.
So you can reach very easily.
Run to the hardware store, and I want you to buy a product called Concrobium Mold Stain Eraser. Okay?
Okay.
Comes in a giant
Concrobium Mold Stain Eraser.
Comes in a giant pill bottle, looks like a giant vitamin bottle. You're going to mix that entire bottle in a gallon of hot water. And you're mixing it, you're going to stir it, you're going to let it sit for 10 minutes, you're going to stir it again. Then I want you to take a scrub brush, wear some gloves, and just scrub it on the siding. And you're going to scrub it a little bit on there, rinse off, it should all come off and look great.
Oh, fantastic. I don't have to paint it. Thank you very much.
You do not have to paint it. No, it'll definitely work, Bob. I appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Phone. You got it. I appreciate the phone call. It's 8:56 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Always remember my three rules. Number one, have fun.
Evan, how old are you?
Six.
Grab your hammer. Put a nail in that hole right there.
Number two, be smarter than the material you're working with.
Does your dad know which end of that hammer is the business end?
And number three, never hold a nail for someone else.
Put another one in there. Don't hit my finger. Ow! I just said don't hit my finger. Oh. Go ahead, hit it.
And now back to your host, that lovable Lou.
How old did you say you are? Amazing. You're pretty good with that hammer.
Yeah.
I know.
On 720 WGN.
This hour, House Smarts Radio is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, Ace Hardware, and by Rogers Roofing. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Thank you so much for listening. An hour left in our show this morning. So pick up the phone and give us a call if you'd like. 312-981-7200. Laura is in Chicago. Laura, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Lou. I'm calling specifically for a suggestion. We own a townhouse on the lake up on the north side in Chicago, and we have a rooftop deck that's wearing out. And I was just wondering, because I know they have all those low-maintenance fake wood things that you can do, or, you know, so I'm not sure what direction to go, but we work all the time. We really don't have time to maintain it and keep it up if it's wood, how you're supposed to seal it, because it's a pain for us, because then we got to move all the furniture to our neighbors, little square patch on the roof, and say, can we share? And so I'm looking for a easy, low maintenance suggestion that can withstand like hurricane winds up there, as well as the
there's not a lot of hurricanes on Lake Michigan, but I understand what you're talking about.
But it's like, you know, you wouldn't believe the winter. I mean, we do get 80 miles an hour up there. They clock it. We got to tie all the furniture down. It gets a little crazy. But this Townhouse Association, they tell us that we have to get something that can be lifted up, because I think within the next 5 years, they want to do something to the roof. You know, they got to smooth that stuff out on the roof, whatever they're doing, you know.
Right. So let me ask you this. How big, Laura, is the area?
Yeah, it's about like 10 by 10 or 12 by 12. It's just a square patch.
Okay. So I have talked in the past of, there are these decking tiles that you can purchase that are, they're synthetic, there's wood, there's all kinds of different tiles that click together, and they are these smaller panels. We even featured one. They're like, it's like a composite deck flooring, okay?
Yeah.
And they're like patio pavers, okay, that are a composite deck flooring. They're about 12 by 12, and you buy them in packs of like 10 tiles or 11 tiles, okay? And so they have a plastic backing, like a plastics maybe. I mean, it is plastic, but it's a durable backing, and these things click together, and they can be cut as well, depending on the shape of this all. But now, any water moisture goes through it. You can easily lift it up if you had to, and it's all completely synthetic. My goodness, you can buy these on Amazon if you wanted to, but if you went to somebody like, I mean, I know you're way up on the north side, but... somebody like Fox Home Center that does a lot of decking business, they can order through them to get this stuff. And these, for your application in a 10 by 10 area, it is like the perfect solution. And what I would recommend that you do is when you buy it and you measure it all out, you know, say, wow, I need, you know, whatever, 50 tiles or whatever the number is. Buy like a half a dozen more and put it in a closet somewhere. So if one gets damaged or you spill some grease from the deck that you can't quite get up or whatever, you literally can take one up, pop it up, put the other one down, and you're done.
Jack can go right on top of the roof then? It's okay.
It goes right. It goes right on top of the roof.
And is it going to stick on there like a stick, peel and stick tile then?
No. It just sits. Okay. It just sits there. But the fact that it's all clicking together, Laura, it's like a monolith of, you know, a giant panel. Then you'll have, you know, you can do edging around it if you want to kind of hold it in place, but you'll also have furniture on top of it. It's not going to go anywhere. And it's not, it isn't like a giant sheet. So remember, it's boards. You know, they're probably, they're 12 by 12. So they're 12-inch long boards, and they're spaced out like deck boards. And you can alternate the direction of them, or you can go on, all in one direction if you want. It just all depends on how you click it together.
Okay, and you're suggesting I do this, or I can hire somebody to do this?
Well, I mean, I don't know how handy you are, but it literally is like putting a, it's like doing a puzzle.
Maybe I can do it. All right, great. Thank you so much. But you're thinking the Fox Home Store is what you're suggesting.
Fox Home Center, Fox Home Center in Alsip would be the place I would go.
Okay, terrific. Thank you so much, Lou. Love the show.
Love you, Laura. Appreciate you calling 312-981-7200. Tom in Glenview called that as well. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
How are you
doing, Lou? I'm good.
Got a quick one. Have a dear friend I've been trying to help, and she has aluminum siding, and it is white, and it's probably 20, 30 years old, and she was thinking of having it power washed. My worry was that if you put too much pressure on it, maybe you're going to remove the finish on it. What's your recommendation?
Well, you're right. I mean, with the pressure washing, if you're too aggressive with that, it will take some of that finish off. With aluminum siding, the issue is that it does get chalky over time, and so you got to be very careful about that. Probably, if you did one of these house washes that you put on the end of a hose, Concrobium makes one that's very good, and that can be pretty effective to put on the end of a hose and spray top to bottom, allow the cleaner to do its work, and then spray it off.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
So I could even do it for her probably rather than her hiring somebody, or she, if it's just put it on the end of a hose, she could do it herself almost.
There is not much that a Tom Klempkin could not do when it comes to doing stuff in and around the home.
Oh, God bless you. you have a good day.
You too. That's Tom. Tom Klempkin was my neighbor for many, many years in the city. And the one thing that we used to tell people, tell our kids, you know how you have to have a fire plan? I used to tell the kids that, look, if there was ever a fire and Mom and I are not home, go across the street to the Klempkin house. And that's where they would go. So, Tom, thanks so much for calling. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Reva is in Evanston. Hi, Reva. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I am terrific. What's going on?
Woke up a couple days ago and at our kitchen window, there were just like swarm of flies, and we checked, you know, the screen's intact, everything's intact. So I'm not sure if there was something microscopic that we're not seeing, but we can't find anything, and they're like on the inside of the window,
right?
And you know, coming in from the outside.
I have gotten a bunch of emails from people who have gotten these swarms of flies that seem to come out of nowhere. And there's like some nest somewhere that all of a sudden just comes out of nowhere and people are freaking out. So they're flies. They, you know, Lord knows where they, you know, they can create a nest, whatever. You need some sort of fly trap with a some side of attractant. And if you go to the hardware store, there's like a little I'm trying to think of the manufacturer of it. It's like, it almost looks like a giant mason jar, and you put this little attractant in the mason jar, but it's plastic, and you put the top back on, put it right over to where the flies are. They're going to fly into that. They're going to like, oh, there's the good stuff, and they're going to get trapped inside there. And within about 24 hours to 36 hours, you should be able to catch them all. And then in the area like near the windows that you're talking about, maybe on the outside, if you use some kind of spray that's designed for flies, on the outside to spray that, that can help as well. But that little attractant fly trap that's, you know, you can use fly paper too, but you don't want to look at all that. This goes into the container, and then you can clean it out later. But it's been a big problem of late with the weather.
Okay. What did you say the name of it?
It's called a fly trap. So you're in Evanston, right? You got that fine Lamoy Ace over there. What is it, on Central over there? Go see them.
Is it Davis or something?
It's on Davis. That's right. Go and see them. Mm-hmm. Say, I need a fly trap. Say, Lou said it's like in a plastic container. It looks almost like a big mason jar. And they'll hand it to you with the attractant, and you'll be good. It's not expensive.
Okay.
All right?
Great. Okay, thank you
so
much.
Good luck, Reva. I appreciate you calling. 312-981-7200. Phil is in Lake in the Hills. Phil, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for being a straight and honest resource for all of us homeowners.
Thank you.
Not a problem, sir. Thank you. Had two questions for you. One is outside, one is inside the home. The outside question has to do with an outdoor fence. We've been getting some quotes from people. Confusion. Is there any difference or pros and cons versus toenail versus face nail?
Toenail versus face nail. So you're getting a new fence installed?
Correct.
Okay. So the toenail, as you're talking about, would be they're going to put the posts in, and then they're going to toenail the fence panels into the post.
Correct, on the angle.
The face nail, they're going to move the posts, and they're going to put the nails, they're going to face nail through the fence panels into the post. Is this a privacy fence?
Privacy, border, year and a half old, very strong puppy dog, and a daughter with a disability that is nonverbal, so if they're in the backyard, we want to make sure we're contained.
Got it. So ultimately, the face nailing into the posts will look better. The downside to you is you have to give your neighbor the good side of the fence.
Okay. But is there any difference in integrity as far as structural?
Yes. Face nailing will give you more integrity long term than toenailing. Because the toenail, basically, you know, if it's a wood fence that we're talking about, you've got two horizontal, you typically have two horizontal wood members that the fencing is connected to. And now that end of the wood, I'm going to toenail with screws or nails, preferably screws, and that over time is going to be the weakest part of the wood because it's the end grain that's going to absorb all the moisture. So if it were me and I was doing a fence, I would face nail the panels into the post and I would screw them in there with stainless steel screws.
Yeah, we were talking stainless so we don't get any of the markings or anything like that. Okay. Second question is inside the house, two-story attic, insulation, AC, cooling. Not too many blurbs there, sorry about that.
All right.
With the recent heat, second story of the house, of course, is incredibly warm.
Yeah.
I've gone through trying to check any of the valves in the ductwork, trying to shut off rooms that we don't need, not getting a whole lot of coolant to the second floor. The condenser unit is sized properly for the house. Actually, I think it's slightly oversized for the house. Attic fan is in the attic. It is functional. And as I went up to check on it, because at one point I thought it was making too much noise, as it was on, I felt an incredible draft coming back through the access point on the floor, on the second floor. But also when I was up there looking, someone had blown in insulation, because you have all those paper tape measures up so they know what the depth is that you're supposed to be doing. Is it possible that they've blown in so much that they've covered any of the soffit vents
that's actually preventing good cooling up there, and of course with an A-frame trying to get on your hands and knees when you don't see
right.
Cooling, is not the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yeah. Is it possible? Sure. I mean, with the soffit vents, the whole idea is to allow the, when Tom Skilling talks about the barometric pressure, that pressure, we want that air to come in underneath the, we want the air to come in under the soffit vents and then come into the attic that's hotter, and then physics allows that hot air to rise and comes out of the vent. If those vents below are not open, then it's holding all that heat, and then that radiant heat that's in that attic space, even though that it's, heat rises, you're still kind of working against that as you AC. I will tell you this. In speaking to a bunch of HVAC contractors over the past month with the amount of heat and humidity that we've had, there has been an inherent issue with most people's systems that they've had a hard time keeping up. And so it's, based on age of house, amount of windows, all that kind of stuff. Even people that have normal AC systems that, have worked flawlessly in the past, the excessive amount of heat and humidity that we've had has really put a taxing situation on the system. So that's kind of an inherent atmospheric thing that's been going on. One of the things that you can try, and one of the things that I would highly recommend, and really, quite frankly, I think it needs to make a comeback, is whole house fans. Not just an attic fan, but a whole house fan.
I was actually going to ask you about that because I remember, and I don't know your age, excuse me, I'm sorry, but when 40 years ago when I was in a relative's house, they had a whole house fan, house AC, where
right.
You had a louvered vent in the floor that when the house fan kicked in, it pulled up enough louver to pull the air out and into the attic and through. I've been trying to find that vent because at this moment I've moved the not particle board, the wall board that blocks the attic access. I've lifted that up and I've literally laid it in the attic so that when the attic fan goes on, it's actually drawing the air from the second floor as well to try to increase the cool air from being pulled from the first floor up and
right.
to help it out. And I'm like,
right.
And I'm looking around, I'm going, they had these louver things when I was a kid. Where do you find them?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Two things. That fan that you remember probably sounded like a jet engine back then. Now they've they've come a long way. I want you to write this website down if you have a pencil or a pen. The company is called Tamarack Technologies. Their website is TamTech, TamTech. TamTech.com, and you're going to see these very quiet whole house fans that to me should be a standard issue now in any new construction, and for anybody that's having a hard time controlling that second floor, it's really something that I want to see more HVAC contractors get into as well, because I think it is low-hanging fruit that can solve a lot of problems to take that hot air up top away and out of your distance. And then your other question about how old I am, I'm 39. I'm not. Quick break and then we'll get to quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Most people love the weekends. A little R&R, time with the family, maybe some celebrating. Unless you have a to-do list around the house a mile long. When do I need to?
I don't know what to do.
Hey, you only know what you know. And what you don't know, maybe Lou does.
I'm not that smart, but I'm no dummy.
Give him a call with any of your home improvement questions. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I'm only one call away.
312-981-7200. Play it, Ferg. My old neighbor Tom Plumpkin called in this morning about washing siding, and I was just informed that it's his 80th birthday. Happy birthday, Tom Plumpkin. You look like $1 million. 312.
Sounds like $1 million.
He sounds like $1 million. And he's going to clean his neighbor's siding off. I mean, the guy's going, he's like a maniac.
He's like the Energizer Bunny, for crying out loud. Well, happy birthday. He's a wonderful man, married to an even more wonderful woman. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Joanne is in Huntley. Joanne, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for taking my call. My problem is an upper kitchen cabinet door.
Okay.
It's a solid door. It has pulled out of the casework at the top twice. First time, I managed to hold the door to get the bottom screw out. Leaned the door up, took it around. I was told there was nothing anybody could do about it. It was my problem. I got a handyman to come in. He replaced it once. First of all, the screw at the top of the door was a little longer than a half an inch and heavy. The screw at the bottom was about 3/4 of an inch long and very thin. The door is solid, it's cherry, and it's heavy. The cabinets are about 14 years old. The handyman came in, replaced it, fixed it, thought it was fine, pulled away again, almost hit me on the head.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to stop you a second, Joanne.
Okay.
When you have a door, and it's pulling away from the frame of the cabinet itself?
The framework, yeah.
Okay, so the hinge... Okay, but the hinge is staying on the door itself.
Correct.
So when you take... When the door falls off and you have it in your hands and it almost hits you in the head...
The screw is still in there.
No. But in other words, but my point, I'm just trying to. So my point is the hinges are staying on the door itself. It's that
correct.
The hinges aren't able to stay onto the frame of the door.
Correct. They pull out of the framework.
Okay. And this cabinet door, is it a part? The cabinet itself that it's connected to, is it a double door, a single door?
Single door.
And
there's a row of cabinets along the wall. Each cabinet, with the exception of two, is a single box.
Okay, now hold on. Stop right there. This particular cabinet door that we're speaking of,
mm-hmm.
The cabinet that it attaches to, when I'm looking at the cabinet door, are the hinges on the right-hand side or the left-hand side?
They're on the left. The door opens right to left.
It's okay, now hold on, wait. Now, where those hinges are, is there a cabinet to the left?
There's a small cabinet over the refrigerator, and there's a cabinet, an identical-sized cabinet box, to the right.
To the right, but to the left, so it in other words, that cabinet, to the left of it, is the fridge?
Yeah, the short cabinet's over the refrigerator.
Right. And the short cabinet over the fridge, but the top part of this cabinet connects to the cabinet over the fridge.
I'm surmising that the framework, I think when the handyman put the cabinet door back on,
yeah.
He used a very long screw, like 3.5 inches.
To catch the other part of the cabinet.
To catch the framework of the cabinet to the left of it.
And that even pulled off?
No, that pulled off too. And what he did was he drilled a hole a little bit longer and thinner after he got beyond the regular screw length hole. And he used a mixture of Gorilla Glue and sawdust. Put that in there, went away for 4 or 5 days, came back, with the longer screw, the cabinet, put it in, the cabinet door was fine. About 3.5 weeks later, did the same thing. Right now, the cabinet door is shut. It's propped shut with a stack of cookbooks and a wine bottle holding the door in place.
What kind of wine?
I don't know it, but it was a big bottle.
Because you're so tired of this door falling off that you've reverted to drinking wine all the time.
Actually, no. The door is shut. I took enough dishes out to last me for 3 days.
All right. So here's my question. Okay, now, and then one other question here, Joanne. You're not hanging on this door when you open it. You're not like, you're just opening it like a regular person.
Correct.
Okay. Here's
and
what I would...
I'm told I went to the people where I live. Mm-hmm. Nobody can do anything for me. All I'm told is the cabinets are out of warranty. It's my problem.
Okay. Well, okay, we can... Okay, here's the thing. We can fix this. Hold on. Stop. Here's what we're going to do. That same handyman that you had come over that tried this, I want you to talk to that person about drilling all the way through both cabinets. At this point now, the wood where this hinge lines up, we got a couple ways to go here. We can either reposition the hinge on the door so that you lower it where you can screw it into a different part of the cabinet, which is a little involved but can be done, or I want you to have them drill through where he put all the sawdust all the way through to the other cabinet. Then he's going to buy a very long machine screw, and he's going to put that through the base of the hinge, through both cabinets, and on the other side, you're going to put a washer and a bolt, a nut rather, and you're going to screw it all together to hold it in there. Now, the you know, at that point, you could hang on this thing like you're a trapeze artist if you wanted to.
Oh, no, not at my age.
No, but if you did that one long screw going through there, that'll solve the problem, and that's probably the easier way to go, than just trying to re-screw it or reposition the hinges. So a through bolt, whatever that length is, it's probably going to be 2.5 inches, maybe even 3 inches, depending on how long it is, and then he'll just buy the correct bolt to go through there, and that should solve the problem.
Okay, is this something that maybe I should go to a kitchen cabinet place and have them come out and do it, or it's a handyman chore?
Oh, this is a handyman chore for sure. Yeah, this is not an issue at all. So I think if you did that through there, he or she can do that no problem. One screw all the way through, washer, nut, you're done. No question. Joanne, thank you so much for the phone call. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Carolyn is in Park Ridge. Carolyn, you're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. So my problem is we're getting water in the basement coming out from the furnace. So the air conditioning is on, seems to be working extremely hard. But even the rubber covering over the pipe in the ceiling, it's like dripping. But there's more water coming just from underneath the furnace. And I've had them come out and check the air conditioning when it was really hot. You know, that seemed to be because it was really hot. But now it hasn't been that hot and still getting this water.
Yeah. So it's super humid, right? You said it's coming out. There's a drain pipe, right, from your furnace that leads into a floor drain somewhere?
No.
Where is this water coming from? Is it from the ductwork, or you said there's a pipe?
Well, we see there's a pipe that has like a rubber covering over it that must.
Where is that?
It's above the furnace. It appears to be coming from...
Where the ductwork connects to the furnace?
Yes.
Okay. And that pipe goes down and goes away somewhere, right?
Well, it must go outside to the compressor.
It must go outside to the compressor. Does it have insulation around it?
Yes.
Okay, so that's your line set. Now that, if you have any dripping there, is condensation, but there should also be a drain pipe somewhere around that same area, or, you know, on the other side where the ductwork connects to the furnace, which is the drain pipe for the, what's called the A-coil, the air conditioning part of your system. If that's clogged, you can get water dripping through the furnace onto the ground below. But that is something, if you had an HVAC contractor come out, they should have checked.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is that it has been so hot, even today, it's so humid that you get a lot of condensation and moisture in the basement of a home where it can be beneficial to you to possibly run a dehumidifier down in the basement as well.
We have that.
You are.
We have that. You know, I guess my concern is that I've seen this water before when it's in other years when it's been really hot. But, you know, like this year, this past week, I didn't think it was that hot that we would still continue to have the problem.
I mean, it shouldn't have been. When the HVAC contractor came out, did they check the refrigerant level in your system?
Yes.
They said it was okay. How about the furnace filter that you're using?
Well, they replaced it, and that's probably just a month or 6 weeks
ago. Okay. If they've checked the refrigerant, they've checked the filters, it's high humidity in your home. I think that one of the things that you can try yourself is you can buy a little humidistat at the hardware store for like $10. It's a little mechanical thing that you can place in the basement, leave it for 24 hours, and see what that humidity level down there. If it's over 60%, that's when you're going to get a lot of that beating on the cold water pipes or on the pipes there that come back and forth, and that's where that moisture can come from. That condensate line that you're talking about that's insulated, that typically can, because it's so cold, the refrigerant's going there, high humidity levels is where you'll see some of that moisture. That's why they insulate it. And in the area, if there's a little bit of pipe exposed, you could put a little more insulation there to kind of temper that. But it has been super high humidity, which has been causing a lot of issues for people around the Chicagoland area. Carolyn, thanks so much for the phone call. We're bumping up against time here. 9:55 in the morning. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening. Time for Lou's Last Call. Thanks to Don Clucking for doing news. Joe Brand on sports, Lindsay, producer extraordinaire, and Bob Ferguson for running around like a chicken with his head cut off once again and doing yeoman's work here on WGN Radio. Jack is in Coal City. Jack, you're on WGN. Good morning.
I have a question. You pretty much solved my problem before when you talked to a gentleman with the toilet running slow about cleaning out the holes with a hanger. And that,
okay.
And
yeah.
You said to put CLR in your tank. Well, I've got a 16-ounce bottle of CLR, but it doesn't tell me how much to use.
In the tank of your toilet, put about two cups in there overnight, so that you let it sit there overnight and slightly flush a little bit of it, but don't have it flush all the way. So you get a little around the rim. Let that sit overnight. And it should clean it out just fine, and then flush it through in the morning, and you're good to go. Thanks so much, Jack, for calling in this morning. John Williams is standing by. Hello, John.
Coal City is the home of the Coal City Coalers.
I went to college with a kid from Coal City, but I can't remember his first name. But I remember that he had a T-shirt that said that.
We, us Manuka kids, used to play the Coal City kids all the time. Nice little town down there.
Team?
Coal City? They were not as good as we were, as I recall.
The phone number for John Williams.
I know. I got nothing but love for my friends in Coal City.
But, what do you got coming up today?
I have a quick question for you before we go. Did you have a teenage or when you were a little kid, who was your first celebrity TV pop star crush?
Oh, you know who I really liked? What's her name from the Partridge Family?
Susan Day. Yeah. Right.
She was cute.
I think Ginger worked for a lot of guys.
I don't
know who worked for a lot of girls. But...
And I did like all the girls from Petticoat Junction.
I did, too.
Come right to live.
I always wondered about the cleanliness of the water that they were bathing in.
I really didn't care. Town's water supply. No, they could swim in any water they wanted. They were cute.
Well, that about wraps it up then. Thank you, Lou.
Goodbye. <That's... laughs>